You are listening to Water Online Radio. Coming to you live from Boston, Massachusetts and ACE 2014, uniting the world of water. This broadcast is brought to you by Water Online Radio, the voice of the water resource and recovery industry, and WaterOnline.com, enabling water and wastewater professionals to make informed decisions. Water Online, now that's clear. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
This is Todd and Todd live from Beantown. Good morning and welcome back to Water Online Radio's live day three coverage from ACE 14. Year three, Todd, of our coverage from this great event. I can't believe it's already day three.
Day three, and we're starting the morning with an engineer. What could be better?
There is nothing better.
Nothing.
I'm looking forward to this conversation. Had the pleasure to meet this gentleman yesterday. Looking forward to it all night. Say hello to Daryl Fendley. He's a senior product engineer with Blue and Green. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Our pleasure is ours. Good to see you. Before we get into our conversation, Daryl, take a few seconds and tell us a little bit about Blue and Green. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Blue and Green develops gas dissolution technology, basically. So if you really want to make it simple, we dissolve gas into water, right? Sounds easy. I don't know if we make it complicated, but I guess in order to do that, in order to have the most efficient method for doing that, of course, we design a lot into the process. So we do the design and the manufacture for the equipment, and it's used for water treatment. Of course, that's why we're here, and also for wastewater treatment and biological applications.
Okay. Daryl, you may never have seen a situation with a municipality that's got failing, inadequate, aging infrastructure and no money.
Oh, no. In Arkansas, where we're at, they are all in pristine condition.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm sure they are. And I mean, we're making light of it, but I mean, it's only funny because it's so real. I mean, how do you deal with that? How do you help your customers just face up to those kind of challenges?
Well, it is a big challenge. I think we all are aware of that. And, you know, if you look at the technical sessions that are going on here at the conference, there's going to be a number of them trying to deal with that issue. And if it were easy, we'd have a solution for it already. So I think one thing we do is we just keep working smarter, right? That's what we're trying to do at Blue and Green, is provide more efficient technologies, more efficient processes to help people so that failing infrastructure or inadequately sized infrastructure, the life of it can be extended to get more out of your tax dollars and continue to provide good quality drinking water.
You know, it's so exciting, Daryl, about walking around an event like ACE, as you see all the new hot stuff, right? The future of water, and it's really exciting. But then you go out into the real world, and you're dealing with a lot of municipalities that have that conventional technology. I mean, are we coming to a point where you're going to have to be using the new modern stuff, or are we going to always have to continue to rely on more conventional, traditional technologies?
Well, have to is a strong word, right? But I think we want to, right? We want to continue to provide better solutions. We want to make the most out of the money that we spend. You know, so what I think you'll see, and what the trends have always been, is you take a conventional technology and you adapt it, right? And so innovation doesn't necessarily mean a brand new concept, right? Like our company won WEF's Innovative Technology Award, which is a very prestigious thing. We're very proud of that. But we didn't invent the law of physics that our process is based on, right? So the idea's been around for a long time. What we've done is we found a better way to apply it. It's more efficient. It's going to save our customers money and provide a good solution for them that's going to save them on the total cost of ownership, which is, you know, we try to encourage people to think about total cost of ownership, right? You can go out and buy a really cheap car and pay, you know, out the nose for poor gas mileage or repairs or whatever, or you can spend a little more and get something that over the lifetime is going to last and be a good solution for you. And nobody thinks twice about that when buying a car. But we still have some old ways of thinking in our industry, and we really aren't that friendly to innovation. We kind of have a love-hate relationship with it. But I think as money continues to be tight and capital budget is restricted, and you have infrastructure that's been around for a long time that really does need to be replaced, you see that people are having to think about how can we do more with the dollars that we have, and how can we be better stewards of the dollars that we have.
Daryl, along the same train of thought, I've lived literally my whole life in small towns, and so there's a set of challenges and issues that a small town's got to deal with in supplying water. Earlier this year, I moved smack dab in the middle of Atlanta, which has got, talk about an aging, inadequate water infrastructure. Talk about, compare and contrast the two. What are the differences? You know, and again, the same question about using old proven technology and going to the new one. Difference between a big and a small plant?
There are a lot of differences. I mean, in general, the principles are the same, right? The way that you get manganese out of water in Atlanta is the same as in a small town, right? But there are unique challenges. One of them, just thinking about the smaller systems in particular, going to more efficient technologies, they tend to be, you know, involve a little bit more on the capital side, right? You're going to provide more equipment in order to give them that better solution. And it doesn't always scale evenly, right? There's an economy of scale. So you can buy a piece of equipment for maybe only double the cost that can do, you know, 10 times the volume or the production rate for water. So the small systems, I think, have to be even smarter. Yet sometimes they're not resourced as well in order to do that. And so small systems in particular, I think, face some challenges. And, you know, our governing authorities, they recognize that and they try to help the small systems out as much as they can. But there are some pretty significant differences there.
Well, we could talk all day about infrastructure and that's and its impact on how we do things. But regulations have a big part to play in this as well. What are some of the regulations that you see are causing some issues or concerns or challenges?
Well, you know, I mentioned the love-hate relationship earlier. I think we in the industry, we have a love-hate relationship with regulations as well. We recognize the need for it. I think it's good for all of us when we talk about new regulations to kind of stop for a second and think, okay, what's the purpose of this, right? Because sometimes it can feel like, oh, man, it's just more rules. It's more monitoring. It's going to cost me more. How am I going to achieve this? But ultimately, the goal, right, is a very noble goal, and that's why working in this industry is beautiful. Water is a very precious resource, and the ability to provide safe drinking water to an expanding population is a valuable thing. You know, I appreciate being able to work in this industry because of that purpose, right? I can wake up and know that this is a significant thing that I'm contributing towards. And so with those regulations, I think if we stop and we view them with that mindset and we recognize, hey, we're all on the same team here. It's not me against the regulators. And most people get that. You know, most people know that the regulators aren't our enemy and, you know, they're not just out trying to make us have a hard time. Then I think we can embrace the new regulations better. Now, of course, the governing authorities aren't perfect, just as we're not perfect in the equipment manufacturing side, and just as people that are, you know, running the plants and operators aren't perfect. But embracing it in general, and I haven't spoken to any specific regulations, but just in general, I think if we view regulations with that mindset, then we'll all get along a lot better.
Gee, Todd, we need to recruit Daryl into some diplomacy, get him to run for office. Very, very, very well said.
Strangely enough, I was thinking the exact same thing as he was talking there, that diplomat all the way. Disinfection byproducts, different kind of issue here. It's something that's been around, obviously, forever. Is that an issue that's pretty much solved and under control, or is it still a major challenge you got to worry about?
You know, I think it depends on who you ask. Personally, I think it's like an elephant, right? And so it's a huge issue, personally, I believe. Now, the current known disinfection byproducts, we've got a pretty good handle on how to address those. And it's more a matter of, you know, funding resources and how do we get from where we are to being able to consistently provide water that meets those MCLs. But, you know, the reason that we're aware of these disinfection byproducts today is because we continue to get better. We continue to be able to detect contaminants or potential contaminants that we weren't able to 20 years ago, 50 years ago. So that increase in analytical ability, if you will, that's going to continue as well. So that's why I call it an elephant. I think, you know, right now we have a pretty good grasp on things, but in 10 years or 5 years or even next year,
tomorrow,
we may know about some things that we're not aware of today, and that's going to present new challenges. And so I like to think about it just like you guys know how to eat an elephant, right?
Yeah, one bite at a time.
One bite at a time. So that's how we address the issues that we face, whether it be with disinfection byproducts or funding issues or some of the many other issues that face our industry today.
All right. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Daryl Fendley of Blue and Green. Talk about some of the challenges and some of the opportunities that come with bringing your gas dissolution technology to market.
Yeah, we feel like we've got a great product. Of course, anybody's going to say that, right? But I'm an engineer. I'm not a salesperson. So you can believe me. Hopefully,
yeah.
You can believe me a little bit more so. But our product, we started the design with efficiency in mind, with the end user in mind. So built into it, you're going to see that it's going to be easy to install. It's going to be easy to operate. It's going to be reliable and simple. If you look at our skid and the equipment we provide, there's nothing unusual about it. We're using standard centrifugal pumps. We're using standard piping and valves. So an operator that sees our equipment for the first time, you know, he's not gonna be freaked out. He's gonna know, oh, I can deal with this. I'm familiar with all these parts. Yet what we've done is figure out a better way to basically to operate it. So the logic that operates our system and the method, which we do have some patents on our process to protect that, but the method that we're applying is where we get our efficiency. And just for example, one of the efficiencies, when we turn down the output from our systems, you get a proportional turn down in your power requirement. You don't see that across the board with other technologies. And that actually, you know, provides significant savings and helps on that total cost of ownership where, you know, you have to design for the maximum, like carbon dioxide, for example, for a recarbonation process. You have to provide equipment that can meet the maximum that that plant's ever going to see at some point way in the future, right? But for every other day that it's operating at a turndown capacity. And so our power requirement is significantly lower for the life of that equipment, for the life of that plant, and we're not having to provide the same amount of carrier water. We're not having to provide the same amount of power every day that we, just because, you know, 50 years from now, somebody said, well, you're going to need three times more than what you're providing today.
Look into the future a little bit, Daryl. What do you see coming down the pipe? What are the problems that Blue and Green's going to be able to address 2, 3, 4 years from now, and with what kind of technology?
Well, the first one that comes to mind, and it probably would be the same for a lot of people in this seat right now from an engineering standpoint, are these emerging contaminants a concern that we mm-hmm. talk about, you know, pharmaceuticals, personal care products, those type things. And, you know, it's not something that is new. We've been aware of them for a little while, but there's a balance going on, right? I mean, we've got these issues emerging right on the heels of the disinfection byproducts that we talked about earlier. So the DPR, disinfection byproduct rule, started to kind of cause some people to move away from using chlorination for disinfection. But, you know, some of these other technologies that are available, do they or don't they help with these emerging contaminants, right? So you got this shift going on. And one of our products that is actually our newest product is ozone. We are able to deliver ozone more efficiently than any product on the market we feel right now. And so ozone's not new. It's been around for a long time. It's used a lot more in Europe than it is in the United States. But I think you're seeing a trend where people are moving towards ozone more because they're recognizing and seeing results like what we've shown, where we are able to significantly reduce or totally eliminate a lot of these emerging contaminants, whereas some other disinfection technologies either have a very minimal effect or don't touch them.
All right, well, Blue and Green is exhibiting here at ACE 14. Now, what principal products are you showcasing here at the event?
Here at the ACE show, we are showcasing our CDOX equipment, which is our carbon dioxide dissolution and delivery equipment. That's used for recarbonation. A lot of the cities that come out of the Midwest have hard water. Also, with some of these disinfection byproducts, one method for trying to prevent those from forming is to eliminate the organics coming in, so you can use a softening, enhanced softening process in order to do that. And recarbonation is always goes hand in hand with softening because of the high pH that results from the lime soda ash process. So that's one, is the CDOX, and then the HyDOS equipment that I just talked about briefly, our ozone equipment. We are really gaining a lot of interest and a lot of momentum with that product. It is our newest equipment, like I said, and yet we've got two purchase orders, one that's going to a wastewater treatment plant, one that's going to a water treatment plant. And we are really excited about getting those installed and being able to bring people in. Like I said earlier, you know, a lot of people are hesitant about new technologies in our industry, and I think rightly so, right? They need to be good stewards of their dollars. So we're going to have these installations to be able to bring people to and show them the benefits that we can provide, and they don't just have to read about it in a sales sheet or a white paper, that kind of thing.
All right. Well, Daryl, I hate to say it, but we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people learn more about Blue and Green?
Well, probably the easiest way is just go to our website, blueandgreen.com. Of course, we are here at the show at booth 1757. We'd love to have you come by there. We do have some LinkedIn and Facebook type stuff out there as well, if you prefer to go through that route.
All right. Daryl Fendley, Senior Product Engineer with Blue and Green. It was great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, well, that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of all of us at Water Online, this is Todd and Todd. Water Online Radio's live coverage from ACE 14. We'll be right back.